It's the holidays. It's the holidays. And your nose is stuffed with mucus. Happy holidays. At you. Who else listens to the Andy Williams Christmas album every single year? What a voice that Andy Williams had. So much that Nelson from The Simpsons loved him. In that famous episode where they at least knocked over the Sun Sphere. I don't know the name of the episode or what season it was. I just remember that Nelson was transfixed by Andy Williams. And made them all go see Andy Williams. Loop-de-loop. Da-da-da-da-do-do-do-do. I'm not in the Christmas spirit. I do like this song. But my favorite Christmas album of all time is Frank Sinatra's Christmas album, followed second. Oh, I'd have to say Bing Crosby's White Christmas album, where he has all the Christmas songs. Then Dean Martin. Those are the big three, the crooners. And I'm not going to play any of their music. This is the audio-only podcast that I intend to put out every single Monday called, Trambles. Trambles. Trandoms is good, I guess. But I ramble, and my name is Tim, so I combine the two. They call that a portmanteau, which the only reason I've ever heard of the term portmanteau is because I do crossword puzzles, the New York Times crossword puzzles, and I'm well into my second-year streak that almost got beat the other day. But you don't care about that. I don't even care about it. Well, I do. If I somehow manage to not be able to finish the puzzle, I get all upset and pissy, and I cheat. But I want to keep my streak going. I cheat. Oh, boy, what a weekend I had. I had a great weekend of rain and hanging out with Gilbert, our 2.5-plus-year-old son, who will be 3 years old in May. 5 months from now, 6 months. Yeah, so he's 2.5 years old. It was a lot of fun. I actually had to be responsible for him for an entire day. And my wife's done that by herself, and she's really good at it. So I had to learn how to do it, and it was fun. It was easy. It wasn't easy, but it was okay. He took a nap, so that was nice. And I took him to soccer class. Now, 2.5-year-olds playing, so they just kick, and they learn how to stretch. And he has a coach named Coach G, and Coach G, I watched from afar because if I had been there watching what was going on, he wouldn't have paid any attention to the coach, and he just would have kept coming up to me. So I left him there, and I watched from afar and saw him lagging behind and not paying any attention. So basically, he's a copy of me. I think he'll figure it out, though. He does like it. He does like the coach. And I did see him kicking and running with the ball, so that's pretty, pretty awesome to see. But it is the holiday season, like that segue. By the way, this show, Trambles. I'd love to have interaction from the listeners, the radios, the people out there who are listening to this show. I would love to have your interaction. You are more than welcome to ask me questions. Ask me questions about movies, about TV shows, about music, life, my childhood. You can even recommend stuff. Just ask questions, recommend stuff. Stuff that you think I might not have seen, stuff if you know me that I might like. And you can ask me to do voices, comedy voices, my impressions, the ones that you like, the ones that you don't like. You can ask me to do those, set up scenario. I don't care. Just do it. It'll be fun. So I guess if you follow me someplace, I need to set up some sort of social media page for this show, for this portion of Radio Labyrinth. Because, you know, obviously I want everybody to keep listening to Radio Labyrinth because that is the show that we've been doing since 2016. By the end of 2015, actually, it was me, Jeff, and Ira Malkin, Jeff Leboff, Ira Malkin, and myself. We started that show. I think this is the eighth year winding down or beginning. I don't know. It's all a blur. But yeah, I'll find a place that you can just park your questions. But in the meantime, if you have my email, you can send me an email there. It's tim.andrews1970@gmail.com, or you follow me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Just send a question. Make sure you let me know it's for the show, and we'll have fun doing it. I wanted to talk a little bit about podcasts. You guys listen to podcast reviews. You know, if you love a television show, it used to be that when the DVDs came out, and even the VHS tapes, but more likely the DVD and Blu-rays would come out, these box sets that started coming out in the early 2000s. There would be director, actor, writer, whatever, commentary on these. And you could watch the show with the commentary track, like a very non-humorous version of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And the people would comment, you know, and you learned a lot about your director and your writer and the people who are on the show. And you learned about the behind-the-scenes stuff, and there'd be behind-the-scenes footage. And then the podcast revolution happened, and it eventually, you know, turned into people like me or people like other people who really, really have a passion for a TV show. And they ended up doing serialized podcasts where they would break down an episode one at a time. So I like to listen to those. And what you encounter these days, it's 2023. If somebody in their 30s, mid-late 30s, now, I guess even early 40s, would say that that would be the millennial generation, maybe a little bit younger. But I don't know, you know, like how many 22-year-olds are doing serialized recap episodes talking about MASH or Dallas or Mary Tyler Moore or any of those shows from the 80s. That I can list 1,000 shows. But one of my favorite shows, an animated series that began in 2003 and just wrapped up this year, with a movie, that would be The Venture Brothers. And their final film was Radiant is the Blood of the Baboon Heart. But that show began a long, 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 long time ago on Adult Swim. So I've been trying to find for a while now, after that movie came out, I've been trying to find a podcast that I could listen to where they would do serialized recaps and add their own flair. And also talk about, you know, a lot of people read books. You know, when I used to listen to a podcast about The Sopranos. I think it was one of the first Sopranos podcasts where they broke down each and every episode and they had guests on. And it was good, but it was through the lens, that modern lens where they would look back at the language and go, well, this wasn't appropriate. Or they felt the need to apologize for the context that was set in these episodes from the late 90s through 2007 when The Sopranos aired. But they were really good, by the way. They read all the books. They read Alan Sepinwall. They read The Sopranos autopsy books, all that stuff. But then at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarrippa got together and they did weekly recaps and they had guests from the show and actors and David Chase, everybody who was involved with the show that was still alive, came on their show, and it was amazing. It was amazing, and you know, they're older. They talked about the things that they liked, and that's why I liked that show so much, because it wasn't just, okay, here's the episode, but you were interested in those two as actors and as creative people, and you found out, you know, personal things about them beyond just their characters, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. There was no apologies for the language, not even from Imperioli, who tends to be sometimes, if you're looking on social media, he tends to be an insufferable lefty. Now, you look at Steve Sciarrippa's social media, he loves his dog and his family, and he loves being an actor. So he's celebrating all the positive things in his life. Imperioli, on the other hand, is complaining and kvetching about everybody he doesn't like. But anyway, my overall point with this is I'm trying to find a Venture Brothers podcast that I can listen to, and I want them to be fans because I know the creators aren't going to do one. I don't know that. I just assume that they won't. So I found one that I started listening to, and I really liked the host, the main guy that's running it. I liked his voice. I liked his knowledge of the show, but his sidekick didn't really know anything about it. Didn't know the name of the characters, doesn't understand any of the references, and the references on the Venture Brothers are very, very deep, and they go back to the 50s and 60s all the way through the 70s and 80s, musical, film, television shows, all sorts of stuff that Gen Xers consumed, like we consumed a lot. We're a bridge generation who we knew Frank Sinatra and Jack Benny and, you know, people from that era, and we still know the people now, although I am losing track on who's famous and who's not because, you know, actors are famous and musicians are famous, but there's also people who are super famous that I've never heard of because I don't follow them on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, or whatever. TikTok being the worst, by the way. So they start doing these breakdowns, and I got very frustrated with it because if somebody doesn't know what they're talking about when they're doing a recap of a show and they're just there, it gets kind of, you know, boring, and I get pissed and I start shouting. And, you know, this happens to me sometimes. I'm not very good at breaking down shows, and I can study them. But what it ends up being is that I watch a bunch of YouTube videos where they break down a most recent episode. Let's just say it's Fargo. You watch a couple of those breakdowns by people who are very passionate, and that's what they do for a living, is they break down TV shows. And they are very good at it. So I go to, okay, this is what they said. Now I'm going to put it in my own words. So it's, you know, it's work to do that sort of thing. And A, I don't have the time. And B, I will really only enjoy doing that if I really, really enjoy the show, like The Sopranos, or it's just something that I've watched a million times. Battlestar Galactica, the modern one, and The Venture Brothers. You know, if I put a lot of time and effort into it, I probably could do it, but I don't have the time and effort to do that. You have to be super passionate about a show, and that's got to really be your only thing. So anyway, I found another Venture Brothers podcast that covers every single episode, and this one I like. I think both of the hosts, the main hosts, are extremely knowledgeable about the show. They know an awful lot about the creators, and they know a lot about the references. So that's really, really great. The only thing about that show that bothers me is that they, again, feel they have to take the time to detract from what they're talking about, to apologize for the language in the dialogue. Now, the language that they did not write, the language that they didn't put in there, and they feel like they have to apologize or maybe even judge the people who created the show. And I don't like censorship. I don't like having to. This 20 years ago is not a long time ago. In 1989, 1969 was not a long time ago, but it felt like a long time ago. Now, as you're older, I guess 20 years ago doesn't feel like a long time. But anyway, we haven't changed that much as a culture. And I don't think that if they use like the R word or the F word, which they never use on that show, but they use the R word or they're misogynistic or something like that, that doesn't need to be explained. It is what it is. And if somebody can't watch something because of something like that, then I feel bad for them because there's all sorts of horrible things that have happened for thousands of years in humanity. And I don't know, 100 plus years, 220 years of films, 100 years, whatever. 70 years of television, and music and things like that. I don't want somebody who didn't create the item to explain it to me why it's bad and why I should feel bad. And that happens a lot. You know, we grew up with sticks and stones may break my bones and words will never hurt me. That's technically true, but you really have to have thin skin, thick skin for that to actually work because, you know, I was picked on. I was called names. I was called names now that if you called somebody that on social media, you would lose your social media and probably be fired from work because you'd be phobic of something or other. You know, I walk a dog at night or I walk down my street at night. If there's a truck that's coming by me slowly, I still expect to hear the driver yell the F word, you know, the F word that's not fuck. The one, it's, you know, you can get away with saying fuck. You can't get away with saying the other F word. But that happened to me all the time when I was a kid, or lard ass, or hey, fat, F, you know, all that stuff. And I'd still think about it. So it didn't hurt me, but it, you know, it made a permanent scar, a mental scar. I don't want to be so, you know, I'm not upset by it. I'm just saying that I understand. But I don't need to, you know, I don't need to know why that's a bad word. I know that's a bad word, even though it really isn't a bad word. Everything just has context. George Carlin used to say, no bad words, just words. Bad thoughts, bad intentions, and words. And to me, that's pretty much how I felt about words. Another thing that happened to me was my friend Matt and I, in the summer of 1986, we went to Virginia Beach. His mother drove, And, you know, my mom never took me on any vacations. But my friend's parents did, and I went with Matt and his mother. I think his sister and her friend went too. And we went to Virginia Beach, North Virginia Beach. And I remember a lot of the stuff from that trip. We were both obsessed with Jason Voorhees. We were obsessed with Alice Cooper, the man behind the mask, which was the theme from that movie. I don't know which one it was, and I'm not going to look it up right now. It was one of the, you know, like five or six. Might have been six. I don't know. It wasn't the 3D one, and it wasn't the fourth. I'm going to say it's the fifth Friday the 13th movie. But we were obsessed with all that stuff. So that was one of the things I remember. Also, the jets flying all over the place, you know, from the Navy base. So all these naval jets, it was cool to see the different ones. I always thought that was cool. Rip roaring across the beach. And we were right by like a demarcation on the beach where you couldn't go over. I mean, there was no barrier really, but it just had no entrance and you could climb under it. Because if you went to your left, as you're facing the ocean, you were on U.S. Navy property. So don't go over there. But we went over. Ooh, we broke the law. We also saw the movie Ruthless People at a mall while we were there, which is a very funny movie. Judge Reinhold and Bette Midler and Danny DeVito. Very funny film. Bill Pullman. And we're off to Haiti. Not Haiti, Tahiti, you moron. If you've never seen that movie, watch it. It's very funny. But anyway, we saw that movie. And then we were walking around the little community where the beach houses were. And I heard some kid behind me go, "Hey, Slim. Hey, Slim. Hey, Slim." And I, of course, assumed he was talking to my friend Matt, who at the time was lanky and very skinny. But really, no, he was making fun of me because I was a little chunk. A big fat boy walking around in a, you know, sleeveless T-shirt from that era. And it felt weird, you know, and that's another thing. They say, "Hey, Slim." I think about that from time to time. So the other reason I probably remember it, because back then it was a novelty for me to hear a Southern accent in the wild. You know, you heard them on TV and music and things like that. But there's maybe one or two people in our town that were from the South. It was very rare to hear a Southern accent. You had to actually go to the South to hear a Southern accent back in the 80s. And then the other thing I remember was when I got home, I ate an entire pie while I watched Paul Simon's "You Can Call Me Al" video. That's what I'm thinking about. I thought about it all weekend, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm really not good at doing those breakdown discussions. We do them on Radio Labyrinth. I'm just not very good at doing them, especially if I have to take the lead. I can weigh in, I guess. Jeff's really good at it. Jeff Leboff, he's really good. He does shows on MOAR, but he's written things in the past and done other shows and stuff where he can really break down a show, and I think he's very good at it. And I just am not. But that's what I'm thinking about here around Christmas time. Again, you know, let me remind you, if you've made it this far, you want to interact with me and you want to ask questions, you know, about pop culture, life, shit, stuff like that, feel free to do so. And you can also ask me to do voices. I don't care. It'll be fun. I'm going to do weird stuff. Weird and weird stuff. On the radio show that I'm on 5 days a week, the Von Hessler Doctrine on WSB, from 4 to 7 p.m. Our host is a huge Beatles fan. Eric Von Hessler is a huge Beatles fan. And one of the songs he really doesn't like is a Paul McCartney song called Maxwell's Silver Hammer that is on Abbey Road. And because, you know, the Beatles just put out reissues of the Blue and Red albums, Red and Blue albums, kind of a greatest hits, something that got people into the Beatles again in, you know, the 80s or whatever. Maxwell Silver Hammer is one of my favorite songs. So it's funny that because those albums came out and because of a couple years ago, the Peter Jackson Let It Be stuff came out on Apple TV, a lot of things in TikTok or social media, and that's just because of the stuff I look at, but finding out things like 3/4 of the Beatles hated Maxwell Silver Hammer. And which I think is an amazing song. And the cool thing about it, it's just one of those things that I vividly remember the first time I ever heard it. You know, I had one of those big brothers in the late 70s, and a Big Brother was a Catholic church thing where college age kids would mentor young kids, single parents, or you know, kids who didn't have siblings. And at the time, I didn't have a sibling. And my mom was a single mother. So I remember meeting him for the first time. And it must have been 78, because I know where I lived when I met him, and it wasn't when I saw him. So he graduated from college, and that was a lot of fun. They would take you to all sorts of things, and you do stuff individually, and you do stuff with the other Catholic kids in the program. And then so fast forward to summer, I guess, of 81. Might have been 80. I don't know, because it was summer 81, because John Lennon had been killed. And Watching the Wheels was on the radio all the time. And my friend and I were walking down the street singing it. We were on our way to baseball practice. And I looked across the street, and I saw that guy. Don was his name. He was walking down the street. And I yelled his name, and he turned over, and he saw me, and he yelled my name. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, not in the program anymore, and but still he wanted to hang out. Which I thought was cool. You know, it wasn't creepy. Believe me, it wasn't. I would remember if it was, and it wasn't. He was just a cool guy. And he lived in the dorms up in the university in our town. So we went up to his room, like this is later. You know, he was taking me to the mall to play video games and to hang out and to go shopping and stuff. And my mom knew all this. It's not like he just picked me up and took me off. She was very aware of it. So he had to go to his room, and where I met his roommate. And his roommate had a copy of Abbey Road. And at the time, my mom had given me her copy, her copies of Meet the Beatles and A Hard Day's Night, the soundtrack. There's two LPs in their original releases. Now, later on, I would ask my mother why those were the only two Beatle albums she had. And her response was, they got weird. She was 18 in 1984, so it makes sense that she kind of drifted away. I don't know. To her, they got weird. She was a big Elvis fan. She liked Bobby Vinton and all sorts of weird shit like that. Barbara, you know, she just liked all that 70s sappy shit, the Carpenters, which I like, but she liked even sappier stuff. So anyway, Don's roommate, whose name I forget, had a copy of Abbey Road, and I said, oh, God, I got to get that record. I love the Beatles, and I liked the song Here Comes the Sun, which really was the only song on there I knew at the time. And so he said, oh, I'll give it to you for 50 cents. I said, no way. And he said, yes. And so I gave him 50 cents, which for me at that time was a lot of money. And that album had duct tape on the spine. I walked home, and the first thing I did when I got home was I put it on my little record player, my one-speaker record player. The first song, Come Together, played, and I knew that song from hearing it on the radio, so that was cool. And then Something, which is a George Harrison song, that played. And I did not know that one, but I quickly fell in love with it. And then I heard a funny little pop song about a guy who runs around with a hammer and hits people with it. Maxwell's Silver Hammer. From the opening, I was sucked in. And I think it had a lot to do with me being a Paul McCartney and Wings fan already, because I was alive when Paul McCartney was making the Wings music, and it was all over the radio. I knew he was in the Beatles, but I loved all those songs. You know, he was on Saturday Night Live. With Father Guido Sarducci, I remember watching that live. And you know, anytime that I knew Paul McCartney was going to be on something, I would try to watch it. So anyway, all those hits were on the radio from Wings. So I loved that little Paul McCartney ditty, Bang Bang Maxwell's Silver Hammer. And once that song was over, I picked up the needle, put it back to the beginning, and I think I listened to it 15 times straight until I had it memorized. So it's kind of cool to see these TikToks of John and George and Ringo complaining. Ringo about how difficult it was to make the song, even though he was probably the easiest to get along with. John Lennon thought it was terrible. And McCartney always said, I don't mind, I like making it. All right, so I guess that's about it. I got other stuff I want to talk about. We can talk about it next week. If you're interested in getting a cameo from me, just go to Cameo and search at Tim Andrews here. I have been doing videos for a long time where I just make them for you and I send them to you. Cameo cuts a lot of the effort, makes it easier for everybody. Sure, they're a middleman, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's helpful. It helps me keep track of it. And it also reminds me that I have to do them, because if I'm not being reminded that I have to do them, then I have a tendency to forget or put it off, and I don't want to be lazy. I do want to say that Radio Labyrinth podcasts are brought to you by Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is our longest sponsor, and Mike Hall has been so good to us over the years. We'd love it if you'd go out there and support him if you have not yet. And if you have, go back again because you know the pizza and the other food is good. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is setting in for a nice winter season with over 40 beers and cans and bottles and 16 beers on tap with a focus on local Georgia and Southeast craft beers. Their current featured selection is Bold Rock Blackberry Hard Apple Cider on draft. It's delicious and crisp with a clean tart finish. Mike says he wants to help thank all the radios for listening to Radio Labyrinth, so stop by over the holidays and New Year's and mention you heard about Atlanta Pizza in Euro on Radio Labyrinth, and you'll get a free dessert. That's pretty cool. Their food truck is taking a short break after mid-December and all the way through February because of its wintery, but there's always exceptions, and if you're looking to book a food truck for a specific date, just contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228. They are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday noon to 9, and closed on Sundays. 1565 Georgia 138 in Conyers. Also, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Before I go, if you've been paying attention to Radio Labyrinth and watching the videos, you see the little AI stuff I make. I made one that I'm not going to put on the podcast because it's too long. Also, I'm finding it very difficult to make images for it. So here it is. It's Stephen King. Oh, hang on a sec. Oh, hang on a second. Now there's music playing, and that's Led Zeppelin. So, you know, I'm not going to edit this. So here you go.
The only thing scarier than Pennywise the Clown is not owning a Radio Labyrinth t-shirt.
I agree.
I have one.
You do?
It's been a part of my t-shirt wardrobe since 2020.
Nice.
And I've worn it more times than any of the others.
Beautiful.
Why, you ask?
Yes, why?
Have I worn my Radio Labyrinth t-shirt thousands of times, mm-hmm. sometimes for 2 weeks in a row?
That's gross.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's a magical shirt that acts as a portal, or a thinny, if it do ya.
I wish mine did.
That transports me to one of the millions of places that exist on the levels of the Dark Tower. When I'm in that other world, I sometimes share Kef and have hot chocolate with Eddie Dean, Susanna Dean, Jake Chambers, and a golden-eyed cocker spaniel named Oi.
Oi.
And the hot chocolate is the good kind.
Mitch Schlag.
They like to ask me why I killed them off in the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Why I let Susanna abandon Roland.
Okay.
And why I added a mute artist to the end of my Tolkien-esque Dark Tower saga.
Right.
To which I always reply the same way. Because fuck you. That's why.
Thanks, Stephen.
Then, I make them look at my checking account balance. You see, Jake and Susanna come from wealth, so they get it. Eddie and his brother, Henry, the sage and eminent junkie, were dirt poor slobs from a part of New York City that I pulled out of my ass back in the 80s.
Out, out.
Eddie sees my statement and makes one of his stupid jokes, but you can tell he's jealous and wants to kill me. Oops. Sorry, Eddie.
Ooh, unalived.
Roland has his guns, and he's back in the desert. Back at the beginning of his quest. He has the Horn of Eld, and now he looks like the guy from The Wire. Eddie also knows I'm his creator, his god. He can't do shit to me, and he knows it. If he ever tried, I'd make him go toe-dash to Derry, Maine, where he'd encounter a creepy clown who likes to eat kids.
Ooh.
And that clown will bite Eddie in the armpit. I guess what I'm trying to say is that a Radio Labyrinth t-shirt makes a nice stocking stuffer. It may not transport you to Gilead, but it could. Anyway, I have more checks to deposit. Here's Dustin to tell you about the merch store.
Yeah, Dustin's not here to tell you about the merch store, but we do have a merch store, and you can find the link to it when you watch this week's episode of Radio Labyrinth on YouTube, or, you know, you look at the show notes. Anyway, thanks for listening. I found that to be slightly amusing, and I've heard it 1,000 times, so that's why I didn't laugh. Talk to you next week.